I want to begin the sermon this morning with a story. I think about my mom. This is Mother's Day, right? So we're going to talk about moms. The most quintessential mother story that I have is a story from my freshman year in college. Now, I went to a college that was 2.5 hours away from my hometown. It would be very similar to somebody from here going to a college in Oklahoma City. And so, as parents do, right, and especially mothers, this is just how you are, you worry about that drive. It's 2 hours, Mom. I'm going to be fine. I've driven 2 hours before. Call me when you get there so that I know you're safe. Because, I don't know, what's going to happen in 2 hours? Yes, there's, I suppose, things that could happen in 2 hours on a car ride. But, you know, so you say, okay, Mom, I'll call you when I get there. I'm going down to college. I've been there before, right? This is the middle of the year, so it's not like I haven't been to college before. I've been living away from my parents for 6 months at this point. Mom, things will be fine. I'll call you when I get there. But, of course, you know me, right? Everybody knows how this is going to go. I did not call my mother when I got there. It was not malicious. It was not some sort of mean thing that I was trying to do, I'll make my mother worry. It was just because, as you know, I have a terrible memory. I did not set an alarm on my phone, so I got to school, I went into the dorm, I started doing whatever school things I was doing at the time, and I had just totally forgotten to call mother. Now, Dad, I'm sure, did not worry one bit. Dad probably didn't even care. Dad was just glad that I was gone and out of the house. So I'm sitting at my desk, typing away. I don't remember what I was doing at the time. And I hear on my dorm room door, knock, knock, knock. And I go and open it, and there, in full dress uniform, is a police officer. And I think to myself, because of course I'm not connecting this, right? What have I possibly done that would require a police officer to come to my door? This police officer says, "Are you Chris Watts?" "Yeah, that's me." "Your mom wants you to call her." Probably the most embarrassing thing that happened to me in my freshman year, as the cop walks away and everybody in the dorm is like, "What was that all about?" Mothers worry, don't they? They do, and that's good that mothers worry. Mothers care about their children. And it is troubling to me that it seems that in our particular culture, it feels like motherhood is being devalued. And there's a number of factors that go into this. For one, the age at which women have children, is going up and up and up. Now, that in itself is not a sign of devaluing motherhood, because let's be honest, there are some people we know that should not have children early in life, right? Let's let them mature and get wiser a bit. But at the same time, we have more and more people who have no intention of having children. They just don't have any intention of having children. Because what do children do? They get in the way of the life that I want to live. It feels like motherhood is slowly being devalued. That if you desire to be a mother, that you are somehow inferior or lesser, or you're not doing enough for yourself if you want to be a mother. But of course, from the beginning, the role of mother was a primary part of God's plan. From the beginning of creation, mother, the role of mother, was part of what God wanted to happen for humanity. Genesis 3:20, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. God could have designed humanity to reproduce in any number of ways. He could have designed humanity not to have this role of mother. He could have made any number of systems for maturation and development as we're raising Gideon, the things that Gideon needs to learn and the things that Gideon needs to do and the ways that he's growing and developing. God could have made that process different, couldn't he? Well, sure, if we admit that God is all-powerful, why not make it different? And yet, from the beginning of time, he chose to implement a two-parent system, mothers and fathers. This was the plan. This was not some accident. This was not plan B. Because God made humanity the way that he did, this was always his intention. The wisest man who ever lived had a lot to say about mothers. We're going to be looking at Proverbs this morning. If you want to turn to the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at almost all of the verses in Proverbs that talk about mothers. Not all of them, because some of them are basically word for word the same, but almost all of the verses in Proverbs that talk about mothers, most but not all, written by the wisest man who ever lived, that being Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. And Solomon, as he's writing these Proverbs, he's writing it from the perspective of one who had a supernatural level of wisdom, right? We remember that story as Solomon is asked by God, what do you want me to give you? I'll give you riches. I will give you power. I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon, of course, asks for wisdom. And so God makes him the wisest person who has ever lived. And he has a lot to say about mothers. Also, at the very end of Proverbs, somebody else includes some stuff as well that Israel found to be wise enough to include in this book. This wisdom about mothers can be broadly broken into three parts. One, the mother's work. Two, the mother's value. And three, the mother's reward. Now, incidentally, a lot of the same things the verses in Proverbs are going to be talking about fathers too. So a lot of the things that I say today could be also applied to fathers, and that's fine. As we go through the text, you'll see where that's applicable. But because it is Mother's Day, I'm going to be focusing on mothers. Fathers, you can have your own sermon on Father's Day. Remember the key to understanding the book of Proverbs. And I don't know if I've said this from the pulpit here before. The book of Proverbs describes the ideal, right? This is not describing every specific situation. This is describing what would be ideal, what would be nice in most scenarios, what we should strive to be or strive to do. These are not hard and fast rules all the time this happens. This is the wisdom of a very wise man describing the way that things should ideally be. But you have families that do not fit into this mold, and God understands that. You have circumstances that are not going to fit into these specific things that Solomon says. And again, God understands that. But these are the things that we're striving for, the things that should be ideal, even if your specific circumstance doesn't exactly line up. We begin with the mother's work, number one. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. This is, in my opinion, sort of the quintessential beginning of parenting. The child left to himself brings shame to his mother. What is the implication here? What is Solomon trying to say? This is the fundamental principle of parenting. Pay attention to your children. Do not leave your children to themselves. If I just let Gideon do whatever he wants, well, let's be honest, Gideon's probably not surviving the week. Not least of which is he can't make food for himself. He can't reach any of the food in the cupboards. Parents, mothers, the work of the mother is to pay attention and be involved in the life of the child. Practically speaking, this is violated in two primary ways today. One is, don't let your kids be raised by a screen. Just put a screen in front of them and then go do your own thing in just hours and hours and hours. That's a problem that didn't exist as much back then. Probably they had other things to distract their children. But today, the danger is just letting our children be raised by whatever screen is in front of them. Or here's another problem, letting your children be raised by the church. It's not the church's job to raise your kids. It's not Steve's job to raise your children. Whoever we have after Steve, it will not be that person's job to raise your child. The work of the mother is to raise the child. Parents must actually raise the children. The last section of Proverbs, chapter 31, expounds upon the work of the mother more. We're not going to read all of Proverbs 31, but we're going to read some of it if you want to turn there. Proverbs chapter 31, which I should have turned there already, but I did not. We see a number of different aspects of the work of the mother. We see in verses 15, 21, and 27. Let's read this. She rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her household, portions for her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Contribution to the household. This is part of the mother's work. And remember what's being talked about in Proverbs 31. This is the woman who is to be praised. The woman who is doing the right thing, doing the thing that God wants, the rare woman. Contribution to the household. Verse 26, teaching and instruction. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Teaching and instruction. Gideon needs to learn so many things that he is not going to learn just by osmosis. There's some intentionality of teaching and instruction that needs to happen. Verse 30, most importantly, fear of the Lord. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Mothers, if you do nothing else with your children, do this. Instill in them a fear of the Lord. If you fail in every other way, as long as you have taught your children to fear the Lord, you have not failed. The work of the mother primarily, in addition, again, a lot of this applies to the father too, right? The primary work of the mother is to raise up her children to respect and fear and love God. That is the primary work of the mother. The mother's work is challenging, to be sure, but the importance of the work means that the mother has value. This is the second thing we're going to look at, the value of the mother, the mother's value in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, the value of the mother, the value of the role is seen in the admonition of the son. The warning to the children is where we see the value of the mother. Proverbs 15, verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. In Proverbs, foolishness is directly connected to things that lack God's wisdom specifically, things that are against the wisdom of God. And if something is wise in God's eyes, does anybody have any room to argue? As the creator of the universe, I think God knows what is best. The person who despises his mother is a fool. One who directly lacks the wisdom of God. It is foolishness to despise your mother. Why? Perhaps because God knows the value of a mother's role. He knows the value of the work of the mother, the importance of that job. And so, yes, it is foolishness to despise your mother. Proverbs 19, 26 through 27, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. If the mother's work is to instruct and impart wisdom, which in part it is, then the one who chases away his mother is in truth straying from knowledge and straying into ignorance. You want to be wise? Listen to your mom. You want to have knowledge? Listen to your mother. The one who chases away his mother strays away from knowledge and wisdom, will be left in ignorance and stupidity. We do harm to ourselves when we fail to see the importance of mothers. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. This is very descriptive, isn't it? You think about this, what this is talking about. This is not a nice way to go. This is not a nice consequence. This is horrible. This is torture, in a sense. The value of the mother, as with the value of every other area of life, there's a typo there, is derived from the desires of the Lord. The Lord places value on things by the level of consequence he assigns to forsaking them. We know how important God considers a thing by the kind of consequence he has in place for abusing it. Here, the consequence we see for one who scorns to obey a mother is torment. What does that say about how God views the role of mother? The punishment declared by the Lord shows the weight he places on this role, the value of the mother. Such value, such important work, deserves certain recognition, does it not? And so finally, the third point, the mother's reward. What does the mother deserve for her work and her value? Proverbs 20, verse 20, if one curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. What does it mean to curse, and what is its opposite? To curse is to wish ill upon, to wish harm toward, to bring about an invocation of calamity upon. So the opposite of that would be what? To wish well upon, to hope that they succeed, to hope that blessing will find them, and to do what is necessary to bring about that blessing. The opposite of what is talked about here, the thing that we should be doing towards our mother, is blessing and wishing them well and desiring that they succeed and find happiness. This is what mothers deserve from their children. Not scorn and mockery and disobedience. And this is something that we find as we grow up older and become older children, adult children. Because Gideon really here is not really able to wish well upon Tracy. Not through any fault of his own. He just doesn't have the brain for it. He doesn't really understand the terms that we're talking about here. But as you grow up and become wiser and more capable and more understanding, you have a greater capacity to bless your mother. You have a greater ability to bring happiness to her. For us children who have moved away from home, who are living on our own, who are our own people, we are in the position most of all to bring happiness and blessing to our mothers, are we not? Proverbs 23, 22 through 25. Listen to your father who gave your life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Mothers should see their reward in two ways, two rewards that come from being a mother, or at least should. One is the honor of the children. Again, if we're talking about the opposite here, do not despise your father and mother, what would be the opposite? Honoring, caring for, admiring, respecting. The honor of the children, both emotionally and physically, right? There's a physical component here that Jesus talks about. The reason I had Keith read the verse that he read in Matthew 15 talks about the physical component of this. When Jesus is talking about that instruction to honor father and mother, he did not just mean sort of a mental, oh, I think you're really great, but what did he mean? He meant support them physically. Which is, we see that in the contrast of what the scribes and Pharisees were doing, taking the money that would have been for the parents, to support the parents, and giving it to the temple, which on the surface seemed fine, but what does Jesus say? You've done this tradition and you have nullified the commandment of God. The intent of God was what? That the mother would be cared for in her old age. That was what God actually desired the people to do. And because of their tradition, their commandment of men, they had violated and nullified that commandment. Do not despise your mother when she is old, but help her and support her and care for her. That is one sense in which the mother has reward. The second should be in the life of the child. The way the child lives their life should be a reward to their mother. Should be a way in which the mother finds joy and gladness because they see what primarily is talked about here is one who has gained wisdom, instruction, and understanding, the one who is righteous. Your mother should have joy and gladness because you live a righteous life, because you are doing the things that God wants you to do. That is the second sense in which a mother should have reward. devoted mothers are worthy of praise. Amen? Amen! Be bolder about it, guys. I think sometimes you're afraid of agreeing with me. Proverbs 31, 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The question today of all days, what reward has your mother reaped from you? What good things does she have in your life because you are her child? And if the answer is nothing, why is that? Might that require some self-examination and reflection on our part? What praise and thanks and gratitude have we given to our mothers? Do they have any reward at all because we are their child? Or are we simply a cause of strife and conflict and sadness for them? The responsibility is on the children, especially as they grow old, to give back to the mothers.